our greatest, our God. How great is our God? Sing some. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord. Hosanna. Oh, yeah.
Hosanna. Selfless faith, selfless.
Hosanna in the highest. Grand Canyon, no. Praise the Lord. What beautiful singing. It's such a blessing to not only have you with me tonight, but it's always a blessing to have my family with me as well. As we keep our hearts and minds stayed on the Lord. In the most perilous times that we have ever seen, if there ever was a time to pray, I believe that time is now. I want to briefly continue to preach in your hearing tonight. From the book of Genesis. Now you can leave it right where I had it. History repeats itself as America and the West are the new Sodom and Gomorrah. And I know that there are some who, for some strange reason, I believe it is demonic, they hate for a preacher to preach against sodomy and homosexuality. It is a sin like other sins, but it is different. And the spirit of it, as you can see in this passage, is different. It is very aggressive and very demonic. And very evangelistic in a bad sense. for some demonic reason, sodomites and homosexuals, they do not want you just to agree with them. They want you to become a part of them. Whereas adulterers and fornicators, they don't care if you're a part or not. And there's no Pride Month for adulterers and fornicators, heterosexual sinners. Adulterers and fornicators would probably call it Shame Month, Humiliation Month, not Pride Month. And to show you how aggressive it is, how demonic it is, how evangelistic it is, you can go to bcnn1.com and you will see something you never thought you would see in your lifetime. The sheriff's department, all with a straight face, wearing homosexual sodomite garb and marching with the so-called gay flag, the homosexual flag, the sodomite flag, along with the American flag, with a straight face, and raising it up with the American flag simultaneously, and saluting the American flag and the sodomite homosexual flag together. What an abomination in God's sight. No wonder San Francisco is a hellhole city and many businesses and many people are escaping the Sodom and Gomorrah of the West Coast. I preached the gospel in San Francisco several times. One evangelist, I don't know if he's still living or not, Dr. Tim Lee. He preached in San Francisco one time, and he said when he got back on the plane, he was so happy to get back on the plane, he told his wife, "I don't even want to see a bottle of Bengay anymore in my life." He said, "I'm sick of it. Don't even put any Bengay on me." That's insane, people. That's unnecessary. Heterosexual adulterers and fornicators, they don't do that. They have not created a flag for their sin. They don't go marching around half naked. They don't blaspheme God and Jesus Christ by having a sodomite homosexual on the cross and another one dancing, pole dancing around him. That's demonic and that is insane. And what they're doing, my friends, whether you like it or not, you can like it or not. You can choke on it. And I mean that. Somebody needs to tell the truth. But what they're doing is they're raping the minds of your children. Their strategy is to make all of your children homosexuals and lesbians and transvestites, and to destroy their hearts, their minds, their souls, and their spirits. And we have too many men, too many fathers. Where are the fathers, by the way? Where are the dads? Where are the husbands? because your wife is got your children down at the gay club because she's got a sickness in her heart and mind, and I don't care if you like it or not. Your wife with her girlfriends think they think that's interesting to see a man with a penis dressed up like a woman with fake breasts on. They have a sickness in their minds for taking your sons and your daughters to the gay club. They're doing it right now in Fort Worth, Texas. They're doing it right now across this country and around the globe, and the judges are siding with them. The devil is a lie. And your son and your daughter, they will be so mixed up in a few years and so messed up. Why? Because they have a strategy. And where is the church? Where are the great evangelical pastors? Thank God for the faithful few. Thank God for the remnant. Thank God for the 7,000. And that's about the number, the size of it. He said, well, preacher, didn't I hear you say that we were winning? Yes, you did. But you misheard me. I said, God is winning because God is answering the prayers of the few. And all God needs is just a few, a faithful few. He doesn't need a whole army. You know that if you read your Bible. He told Gideon to send some of them back. God gets the glory. People praying and fasting, God is hearing that. God sees that. God moves. The smoke that came from the Sodom and Gomorrah burning down of Canada, that's God. That's not us. That's God. We just praying and fasting and preaching and being obedient and doing what we can do. And what we can do is very little. But God can do a whole lot. God is winning. See, all he needs is a faithful few to pray faithfully, pray without ceasing, and be obedient, and he'll turn the whole world upside down. The passage that we're reading right now, it was Lot and his family that escaped. The story of Noah, his wife, and his family escaped. That's it, and the animals. God does not need a whole lot of people to move now. God can move all by himself with just a faithful few. We're going to pick up reading tonight at verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You can see in this passage that iniquity and sin and sodomy and homosexuality and ungodliness go hand in hand with judgment. Always. Never think that anybody gets away with sin and evil in God's economy. Do not think like that. That's dumb thinking. Nobody gets away with sin against God. You can be forgiven, but you don't get away with it. Some might wonder if Jesus Christ died for our sins to save our souls from hell. Why are we still going to die then? Oh, you're still going to die because you have sinned against God in this life. You will live forever by the grace of God, but if you live long enough down here, that judgment is still coming upon you. God could have done that, but he chose not to. And while he lingered, while Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Lot's son-in-laws perished with the homosexuals and the sodomites. The Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain." In other words, get ye up out of here, lest thou be consumed. You say, well, preacher, how did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? There, many people have thought about this. But it could have been something as simple as God sending multiple lightning bolts raining down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. As many people have said, that lightning strikes is what caused the fires. Ferocious fires, by the way. I've seen some fires in California, but the brush must be pretty thick in Canada, because frightening looking, ferocious. I mean, like somebody poured gasoline on the forest. I've never seen it quite like that before. So bad that the smoke is all across America. One of the things that some of you are not getting is that God is way smarter than we are. And God can do a little something and mess up our lives. He did it in the coronavirus plague. And he did it this past week in the middle of so-called sodomite, homosexual, and pride month. There's no need for you getting mad at me, people, and cussing me out and mad at me because I'm preaching against your evil and your sin. And we heterosexuals, even in the church, sad to say, are just as wicked and evil. It's just that when you participate in sodomy and homosexuality, God, that piques God's interest real quick, like, because you're trying to turn his world upside down on his head. He's got men like me who are very interested in beautiful women. He made us that way. He wired us that way. And at the same time, he expects me to just have one. And so that does not mean that I'm not tempted with others. But I, by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, restrained myself and controlled myself. My wife and I visited an Aldi, or however you pronounce it, one of our favorite little stores, grocery stores. And I was in a parking spot And then someone drove up in the next parking spot. And there was 100 other parking spots. And I guess I get claustrophobic. I don't like for people to just pull up right beside me all tight. And so I pulled out, calling myself, I'm going to go to one of these other hundreds of parking spots. And I was going to go into the store. And my wife was going to stay in the car. She was with me. So when I made a little U-turn to come back into the parking lot, the woman, a rather voluptuous woman, got out of the car. And I don't know if she did this on purpose or not. I don't know. And this is the truth. I've never seen this before in my life. This doesn't happen often. I've never seen it happen before. But evidently she had one of these, I guess one of these wrap dresses. And I lie not. For some reason, she let that wrap dress fall down to the ground. And she was standing there with her buttocks out. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And I've never seen anything like that. I don't know if she did that on purpose. I doubt it. But she didn't have any embarrassment about it and went on her way. And that was designed by the devil, of course, to be a temptation. And the devil told me to tell her I saw that. I ignored him. I didn't say anything. But we have a natural attraction to the opposite sex that God put in us. And when you turn that towards the same sex, you're trying to turn God's world upside down on his head, and God's not going to let you do that. That's why he causes judgment after judgment after judgment against this abomination. He's not going to let you do that. He wants men and women to keep on having sex and having babies. You with a stinking ugly man can't do that. I don't know what you're doing, but it's wrong. Women getting together and so forth, trying to call themselves having, you all are not having sex. I don't know what you're doing, but it's not sex. Not as God made it. And then see, you're messing with the structure of the universe, and God does not want men and women committing adultery. God does not want men and women committing fornication. God does not want men and women swinging. But it is at least natural. And babies can come from it. David committed adultery. First baby died, but another baby came along named Solomon, and he became one of the greatest kings in the history of the world. God is not going to let you tamper with his superstructure of what he has made. He's not going to let you get away with that. Your problem is with him, not with me. See, when I was lost, you people didn't faze me. You do what you want. Live and let live was my philosophy when I was lost and on my way to hell and didn't have any sense. Long as you didn't bother me, long as you didn't come up in my face with that mess, because my mind was on Felicia, in those hips. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. I have never thought about you. And if you don't play football good and basketball good, I have no interest in even thinking about you. Nothing at all. And I thank God. I thank God I've never had that. I don't know what that is. I do know this, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, he expects you to control whatever temptations you might be having. See, you say, well, I'm struggling. And this is what I say to you. If you're saved, struggle on, because I'm struggling too. But I'm not struggling with the same sex. I'm struggling with the opposite sex. As long as you're struggling, I'm all right. I'm all right with you. Just struggle and resist. And do not yield. Yield not to temptation. I don't care what it is. For yielding is sin. Oh, I wish I could sing it. And hopefully you will win. Fight manfully onward. Bad habits subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Along, and we're all struggling with something. We all have a tree that is forbidden to us. My tree is fine, fat women. You have yours, but if you're saved and born again by the grace of God, you cannot touch that tree. Because God will deal with you. God, make no mistake about it. I don't know what you think God is doing. God is watching you. God is on top of it. He's an active God. He does not age. He's still, if you will, strong and on top of things. And I don't know how he does it, but he can deal with every last one of us on an individual basis. I wrote a letter to my children today. I told them that God does not play and Jesus does not play. I told them. I said, do not play with God, because he does not play. And just like he has chastised me, I know that you're born again. He's going to chastise you. You can. God does not like ugly. You can get ugly if you want to. I'm not worried about you. I have no worries, none, because you know the word of God. You know the word of prayer. You know what you ought to do. And I told them that if you are miserable and you are sad and you are depressed, you're probably in sin. Same thing I have told thousands upon thousands of other people who name the name of Christ. Under no circumstances does God play. Under no circumstances does Jesus Christ play. We play, but God does not play. This is very serious. All of this is very serious to God. Breaking his commandments is very serious to God. Our sweet evangelicals have done a terrible job defining Christianity. And so have the charismatics. This sweet little dainty little Christianity, where you can just do whatever you want, say what you want, do what you want. That's not the Christianity of the Bible. Commit adultery, live in adultery. Yeah. Right now, there's a man. We have an article, a couple of articles on BCNN1.com. Everybody in the world is reading it, evidently. About a man who left his wife, divorced his wife. Now he wants to marry another man's wife who died. And people are people after the plague. These are prominent people. People are taking heed to this foolishness, and people in the church said, "No, this ought not so to be." Mm-mm. He's going to mess up her life. He's divorced. Now he wants to remarry and live in adultery and mess up her life and cause her to live in adultery. And I said, and I said it in the past, and I'll say it again, we have people who come out of the charismatic church, the prosperity gospel church, evangelical, mainline Protestant, even independent Baptist, independent Methodist as well, who believe they can do whatever they want and anything they see, and they want it, they go for it and they try to get it, and they get it. And God is not pleased with that. That's why we went into the plague. See, people's eyes have been opened, and I'm not the only one who rebuked this man. And he wants her bad. And she's a good-looking woman for her age. And he wants her bad. And he should not have her. And she should not let him get her. It's wrong in God's sight. People living, we got thousands upon thousands of people in the church living in adultery. That's why they don't have the power to say anything to the sodomites and to the homosexuals who are breaking down the door to get into the church. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." And what the angels were telling him, and Lot, you know, Lot was talking to these angels like, you know, they were the Lord. So only God knoweth. You're certainly going to die here. So we're telling you where to go. And Lot is out there in the middle of nowhere trying to negotiate with the angels who are trying to save his life by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Now, I have not done this to this point, but I'm going to share with you tonight a little bit of what Dr. Matthew Henry said about this passage. This is not a time to negotiate. Lot was not the most spiritual person in the world. And we know his wife was not. And his sons-in-law, they perished. The daughters always have enough sense to go with their father. And for the most part, particularly if they were not fully into the marriage yet. Sounds like these were young women. And so Lot still had some influence over them. Lot was, Dr. Matthew Henry said, Lot was good, but there was not one more of the same character in the city, the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, similar to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Dallas, Fort Worth. That's what we're talking about. All of the people of Sodom were very wicked and very vile. Some of you live in cities like that. You got bars on your windows, bars on your doors, because the people are very wicked and very vile. Care was therefore taken for saving Lot, and his family. But Lot lingered, kind of like so many of us. We know we ought to leave the area. We know we ought to leave the city or the state or the country or where we are, but we are used to it. Therefore, we like it because we're familiar with it. Have you ever been in a situation in your life? If you are a preacher, a God-called preacher, I assure you, you have. Where you were comfortable where you were. But God was agitating you and moving you to go someplace else. And if you don't move like you're supposed to move, he'll move you. For your own good. And then when you get there, you say, oh, okay, I see. God was trying to get me to move away from a place. I guess for about 5 years I had told my preacher friends, but God had blessed me to do a great work there by his grace. And I was settled. God did not want me to be settled there. But I wanted to be settled there. And some of the reasons why, I'll just give them to you. One, I was there was a health food store there. Not that I'm that healthy, but I loved the health food store. It was a Seventh-day Adventist store. They have some of the best health food stores. And so we would go there on Sunday afternoon after church because they were open on Sunday. And we would go buy some goodies from the health food store. And I said, I would never find a health food store like this. And then there was a little fish restaurant that was just the best. The outside did not look like anything, but they had some of the best fried fish in the world. And then not too far from that fish restaurant was a Chinese food restaurant. And buddy, they put their foot in it, right in the corner of a mall, like a mini mall. And I said, I would never find a fish restaurant like this. I would never find anywhere a Chinese food restaurant like this. I want to stay here. I like it here. I'm familiar with it. They had a Walmart and a Winn-Dixie right almost adjacent to one another. They had a Dollar General nearby. I liked where I lived. I was comfortable there. And I knew where everything was. But God wanted me to move. So God basically said to me, you won't move on your own? I'll cause some things to happen to make you move or to cause you to move to where I want you to go. And to make a long story short, I may write about this one day. I may tell you the full story one day. I don't know. To make a long story short, God put me in a little city not a big city. He put me right where he wanted me to be. And do you know the Chinese food restaurant was part of the same company as the one that I used to go to thousands of miles away? They had the same menu. It was like a chain situation, but they were independent, but they had the same menu. And the food tasted just as good. And then this is what took the cake. Come to find out that the city that God moved me to, he did this to show me, son, I can take care of you. I can show, I can give you what you want if you do what I tell you. And I'm telling you the truth, I lie not. The whole town is a Seventh-day Adventist town with the best and largest health food. They produce the food, the health foods that I would get in this city thousands of miles away or at least hundreds of miles away. They produced it. The health food store is the largest that I've ever been in, and it's similar, and they have just as much as the other one had where I was and more. Seventh-day Adventist. I had no idea. And you know what we did? When we got situated there, we would go to the health food store on Sunday afternoon. I mean, bigger and better than the other one. 10 times bigger, 10 times better. I lie not. So, God will take care of you. And I was smack dab in the will of God. And let me tell you something. God bless me and my family in that little town more than anywhere we've ever been. In that little town, let me tell you something else God did. Now, some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. You may not move because you don't want to move, but God will move you. And let me tell you, in that little town, God gave me the desire of my heart that he knew was in my heart in the other town, because in the other town, they had a beautiful grocery store called Publix. And when I walked in that beautiful grocery store, they would have a rack of Christian books called Choice Books. And I always wanted to have a book on that rack. I mean, this was years before. And a book that I wrote in the other town, God blessed me to meet some people who knew the people who run the choice book racks all across the country. And that book that I wrote in that other town, titled Letters to Young Black Men and Letters to Young Black Women, I met an old farmer kind of a guy. You would have never thought they were connected to Choice Books. He knew the people. And they bought thousands upon thousands of copies of Letters to Young Black Men and made it a national bestseller. Essence National Bestseller, Dallas Morning News Bestseller, Amazon.com Bestseller. And, of course, Choice Books. Come to find out, they were owned by the Mennonites, a group that I was not familiar with. And for some reason, I thought when I wrote the book years ago, before I got into this new town, and wanted my book on that book rack, God had to take me. He knew the desire of my heart. Because I knew for some reason that my books would sell well on the choice book rack. And they did. They couldn't keep the book. They ordered and ordered and ordered and ordered. And when my children were younger, they helped me take the books to be shipped to Choice Books all across the country. And they launched that book into the stratosphere. That's what God will do. Whether you move voluntarily, like he told you, and try to negotiate, or try to negotiate like Lot, and he has to move you himself, God will move you to a better place, because God is merciful and gracious and loving towards us. Lot lingered, he trifled. Thus many who are under convictions about their spiritual state and the necessity of a change defer that needful work. The salvation of the most righteous men is of God's mercy, not by their own merit. The Lord was literally pulling Lot out of the fire along with his family. And I want you to notice that God, he loves families. He saves, he can say, the Bible talks about saving whole households. Noah and his family, Lot and his family, Abraham and his family, Moses and his family. That was a family ministry under Moses. His brother was there. His sister was there. God has used families. And from that new city that God took me to, our family flourished in the ministry like I have never seen any family flourish. In spite of the devil, in spite of a Jezebel wife, Marika White, my wife who's with me tonight after over 35 years, outside of salvation and being called to the ministry, raising my children in that little town, and serving the Lord with my children who were eager to serve the Lord. In that little town, when they were younger, they wanted to stay up all night, especially my daughter Danny, my daughter Danita, my son Daniel, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel Eagle, and Danielle. And they, when we started the online ministry, they were a big part of it. For over 20 years at that point, I did ministry the old-fashioned way. Poo-pooed on computers. Traveled around the world and preached the gospel. But that set me up for the online outreach ministry, where we have been able to reach millions of people more than what we reached before. And if I had not moved from where I was and walked into the Dallas Theological Seminary hallway and saw on the bulletin board a thing called internet evangelism, I said, "What? Evangelism, that's my thing, what?" But I still did not have the skills, and so it took the skills of my, especially my daughter Danita Evangeline, Danae, Daniqua, my daughter Danny, my son Daniel, Daniel Ezekiel, Danielle, all of my children. And of course, being younger, they adapted to the computer life just like that. And the rest is history. And to this day, we reach thousands upon thousands of people, the great and the small. Just yesterday, we noticed that some people from The Hague in the Netherlands, they were reading one of our publications. The White House, the State House, the Pentagon, people in high places have read our publications online, have heard me preach online. And do you know many people who work there, where they used to work in the office, especially in those days, we'll get a great crowd of people during the daytime. They were not supposed to watch us and listen to us and read us, but they did. And so I give God the glory. And if God is leading you to move, go ahead and move. It's going to be all right. And the last thing that I want to say to you from Dr. Matthew Henry is what he says here. We are saved by grace. All of us. Have you ever been saved by grace? If not, do so tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Jesus Christ said the most loving words, the most magnificent words, the most important words ever said in the history of the world, when he said, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So believe in him. Do what he is telling you to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Follow me in the sinner's prayer, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt. He took away your sins. And all you have to do is believe in him. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the good news. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bad news is you are a wicked, evil sinner, for the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us. The bad news is you're going to die because of your sins. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The bad news is you're going to hell if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not believe in his gospel, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will. If he can save a wretch like me, he can save you. Follow me as I pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I deserve to die and go to hell for my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul tonight. I believe in you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, according to the Word of God and the Word of Jesus Christ in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and from the power of your sin, and you are now saved to go to heaven, to be with God and the Lord in the divine reset. May I say to you, congratulations. And everybody who is under the sound of my voice, save yourselves from this untoward generation by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go to hell on a humbug, messing around with evil and sin and wickedness and ungodliness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Allow me to help you to grow in the faith first. Get your free book at gospellightsociety.com, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. You can download it free of charge. Start reading it immediately, and it will give you step by step what you ought to do right out of the box, so to speak, as a newly born again saved person. And then tap on the podcast on that same site, the podcast button, and it will take you to thousands of podcasts that have been done for your good and for your growth on nearly 50 different Christian subjects. And listening to these podcasts will help you to grow in the faith. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, pray for me when you think about me, as I will be praying for thee. Also, pray without ceasing. First thing in the morning, read the Bible. First thing in the morning, meditate on the Word of God and pray throughout the day. I challenge you to pray in the morning and ask God for His leadership, guidance, and direction. And I guarantee you God will pave the way for you and open up doors for you if you're His child, and lead, guide, and direct you to the point you will have a very surprising margin in your day that you can relax and take it easy and get everything else done as well. Walk with the Lord and He will guide you and direct you. He has saved you to fellowship with Him and to walk with Him. God delights in walking with you if you would let Him. Remember now that you are a soldier of the cross. Borrow the motto of the Marines. Semper Fidelis. Be always faithful to the Lord. Air Force and Space Force motto, Semper Supra. Always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. If the Lord tarries His coming, starting Sunday night at 12 o'clock, we'll be fasting and praying against the demonic spirit of wokeism and other things that trouble the souls of people. Pray for the salvation of the lost. Witness to the lost. Pass out gospel tracts until you get on the other side, and you'll be glad you did. Join me in a closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Tonight, Lord, I pray and I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Holy Father God, I thank you for what you've done this past day. And Holy Father God, I thank you for blessing me to have precious memories and even reminiscing, Lord, in this sermon tonight, what you did when you moved me from a city that I didn't want to move from to a better city. And Lord, the rest is history. I give you the glory, and I give you the praise, and I give you the honor for what you have done, and for what you're doing, and for what you will do. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for the millions and the many and the manifold blessings, Lord. Blessings that we cannot count. As your children, I praise you and thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. For Jesus Christ's sake tonight, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh even tonight, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, that we would not sin against you. Deliver us tonight from temptation, evil, and sin. And grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to live right, think right, and do right. And act right tonight. And do that which is pleasing in your sight every day of our lives. Help us to fear you and to respect you and to reverence you. For that will keep us from a whole lot of foolishness, sin, and evil. I pray this, Lord, for my family and all of the Christian families that love you back. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent of our sins. And get back to you, our first love. Holy Father God, as we go deeper into this weekend, this is the time of the week that the devil really attacks my wife, to try to attack me and to try to hinder your work and your services. Over the past 35 years, that's been the case. But my wife made a strong profession of faith on March the 4th in the wee hours of the morning. And Lord, I pray that she would tap into your power, Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit. Not only when I'm not preaching every day, but when I am preaching every day, is when I need her to be like she has been in recent weeks. Help her not to listen to the devil or to devilish family members or devilish people, church people. Help her to listen to you. Crucify, Lord, her flesh and the old man within her, and fill her with your Holy Spirit. And help her to be different than what she has been over the past 35 years. And Lord, I pray for the salvation of her mother, her aunts, and her siblings. I pray for the salvation of my mother and my siblings and family members, and help all of us to realize that deathbeds are coming, and we need to be right with you, and religion will not cut it. I pray, Holy Father God, I thank you for the privilege of leading my children to you. I do pray that they would all examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith. And Lord, I pray for the salvation of all of my children, and that they would walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, and therefore obediently. I pray for Danny, I pray for Daniel and Danita, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Danielle, Duran, Danielle, and Quazia, and all of my offspring, and all of my family members. Have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they are in line with you, and saved by you, and obedient to you, and fearing you, and respecting you, and obeying you through the things that they have suffered by your chastening hand. I, for one, not only thank you for your salvation, but I thank you almost as much for your chastisement of me that taught me what my dad didn't teach me, my mother didn't teach me, and my first real pastor didn't teach me. You taught me very well, and that is to fear you and to reverence you and to respect you and to understand that you will not bless me and use me if I do that which is evil in your sight. Lord, I shall never forget that. Thank you for chastising me well and teaching me well. Do the same in the lives of every saved person in my family and in this, every saved person in this audience, in this country, and around the globe. I pray tonight for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning, across this country and around the globe. And Holy Father God, Lord, I pray that you will lift all of our sin burdens, guilt burdens, care burdens, fears and troubles and anxieties and cares from our hearts, our minds and souls and spirits. For you said in your word, cast all of our care upon you. And so, Holy Father God, for those of us who are saved and born again, we do that tonight based upon your holy word. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will deliver each and every one of us from our distresses and afflictions. Deliver us, Lord, from all of our tribulations and troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. And Holy Father God, deliver us, Lord, tonight from all of our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles and difficulties that we are facing. And Lord, I pray tonight on this Friday night, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here, for this is the best place to be. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for the protection of all of my family and especially all of my children in this sin-cursed Sodom and Gomorrah world. Danny, Daniel, and Danita, I pray for Danny, Daniel, and Danita, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Danielle, Duran, Danielle, and Quazia. Lord, protect them from the demonic spirit of wokeism in the family and in the church and in the world and on the job. Lord, I know they have a strong biblical and spiritual and prayer foundation. And Lord, help them to resort to that and stay close to you and be a blessing to others based upon how they have been trained and well trained by your grace. And if they have faltered, if they have sinned, help them to confess their sins and repent and get right with you. By your grace and your mercy and the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray the same for all Bible-believing Christian families in this audience tonight across this country and around the globe. And Holy Father God, place upon us tonight the whole arm of God. Surround us tonight with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have all that we do and say tonight to be done for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the glory, praise, and honor of Jesus Christ. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Lord willing, if it be the Lord's will and the creek don't rise and God allows us to live, I'll see you tomorrow. Pray without ceasing. Have a great night of rest and sleep. Simplify and Simple Super.
Oh yeah.